Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Tony Nixon and I'll be chairing the meeting. Firstly, I'll apologise for the slight delay. We had a few technical issues to discuss. A couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in the silent mode? And can ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. On my right, I've got officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Firstly, the minutes, if you can agree them. We've got minutes from the Planning Committee on Wednesday the 16th of July, the Special Planning Meeting on Wednesday the 13th of July, 13th of August, and the Additional Planning Meeting on the 13th of August. Are those minutes agreed? Do we have any apologies?
Councillor Cross has been substituted by Councillor A. Edgler.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying. I personally have been lobbied on the first application at NOSL. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, thank you. The delegated applicant. Scott, yes.
I have two declarations to make. Firstly, I've just changed job positions, and I work for Severn Trent in their geotechnical department. However, I have no bearing on any planning matters in that position. And secondly, I shall be acting as a ward member for the NOSL application. Shall I sort of stand back from there?
Okay, thank you for that. Number four, delegated applications. These will be circulated separately to members. So moving on to the planning applications. The first one is, the first one is 24/4076/FUL, rear of the surgery, Wharf Road, NOSL. Stevie, you presented this.
I am, yes. Thank you, Chairman. As you just said, this is planning application 24/4076/FUL, round of rear of the surgery, Wharf Road in NOSL. This is a hybrid application which seeks outline planning permission for 19 dwelling houses with all matters reserved except for means of access. The application also seeks permission to convert the site's barn into a dwelling house. The application has not been called in, but has been referred to committee as the development raises unusual planning policy issues that fall within the meaning of the Constitution's scheme of declaration, a delegation. So the first slide is the location plan, which shows the extent of the site, which is outlined in red. The site comprises a field within the village of NOSL. The field contains a two-storey barn, grassland, foliage and trees. The site is bound by hedgerow, trees and a stone wall along Wharf Road. The site has gated access on Newport Road. The site is designated green infrastructure within the local plan for Stafford Borough and is identified as green infrastructure within the NOSL neighbourhood plan. The This is an aerial view of the site. The site shares its western and eastern boundaries with neighbouring dwelling houses. The site's eastern boundary is also shared with a fish and chip shop and Nursel fire station. This plan shows the location of the following photos. The first image is looking south towards the site's gated access and the field behind. The second image is looking south again towards the site's access. The third image is looking north towards the site's boundary wall and the neighbouring dwelling houses. The fourth image is also looking north towards the site's boundary wall and the site beyond. As mentioned, all matters are reserved for the outlying application for 19 homes except for means of access. However, an indicative site layout has been submitted with the application. This first plan shows that indicative site layout. This application is a hybrid application which seeks full permission for the conversion of the barn into a dwelling house. This plan shows the proposed floor plans, elevations for that barn conversion. Plan 3 shows the vehicle tracking for the means of access. Plan 4 shows the existing topographical survey. And Plan 5 shows the proposed access design for Wharf Road and Newport Road. The main issues for consideration with this hybrid application include the following. The principle of this housing development, given Stafford Borough's lack of a 5-year housing land supply, within that, consideration has been given to the site's designation as green infrastructure, the need to deliver a well-designed scheme, and the need to deliver sustainable travel and safe access. The main issues also include the principle of converting the site's barn into a dwelling house and all related material planning considerations. Consideration has also been given to the development's impact upon the area's amenity, the development's impact on flood risk, and national biodiversity net gain requirements. In this case, it is recommended that the application is unacceptable for three reasons. The application is unacceptable in principle due to the loss of designated green infrastructure, which currently provides a wide range of environmental, visual, and amenity benefits for the local community. The development's urbanising effect would significantly harm the rural character and natural quality of the designated site and will therefore fail to deliver a well-designed proposal. This adverse impact outweighs the benefits of the proposed housing development. In addition, following consultation with the Highway Authority, it is recommended that this application is unacceptable as it would fail to include safe means of site access by sustainable modes of travel. The application also does not provide sufficient information regarding the proposed vehicle access from Wharf Road. Again, this risk to the safe use of the public highway outweighs the benefits of the proposed housing. The application is also unacceptable as the submitted biodiversity net gain metric shows a 70.03% net loss in biodiversity and therefore fails to meet the 10% net gain required by the Environmental Act. Because of these three reasons, it is recommended that the application is refused. Thank you.
Right, we've got some speakers on this. We've got Mr. Monaghan, if he's here. You have 3 minutes, and then I'll give you a nod when you've got 1 minute to sing it. Please start when you're ready.
I'm here to register the strongest possible objection on environmental, ecological, and safety grounds. Stacey's Field has a distinctive topography and appearance due to its surrounding embankments on three sides with trees, hedgerow and deep natural foliage. The central flat area is still cut and baled for hay, preserving a traditional rural use. It also helps to alleviate already major flooding issues on two adjacent roads. The field's presence is of great importance to the community, and its loss would be profoundly damaging to the village's rural character. Building on it would irreversibly erode the identity and character of the landscape. How can just 20 properties justify such a loss? Many local residents even doubt whether such a number could realistically or sensitively fit within this constrained site. Compounding this is the dramatic height disparity of around 4.5 metres in many places between the field and surrounding properties. For this reason alone, any development here would almost certainly be an unsightly and intrusive addition. Stacey's Field supports wildlife species that rely on its undisturbed tree line and open foraging ground. As neighbouring residents, we regularly hear owls calling, see bats flying at dusk, and birds of prey perching and hunting. These species are highly sensitive to light pollution, noise, and habitat loss, all of which would inevitably follow from development. The field has also served for years as a crucial air ambulance landing site. Development would remove this life-saving asset and could delay emergency responses at moments when every second counts. The proposed access from the A518 Newport Road raises serious safety issues. This busy route has limited visibility with heavy traffic for most of the day. Additional turning movements would increase collision risk for both new residents and existing road users.
You have 1 minute left.
The traffic survey presented with this application was carried out in December and does not account for the large seasonal influx of heavy farming machinery and fast-moving motorbikes in summer. Pedestrian provision along this stretch is extremely poor, bringing walkers dangerously close to passing vehicles. This proposal threatens the integrity of the landscape and green infrastructure, diminishes ecological value, harms wildlife habitats, and brings about significant public safety risks. We respectfully urge the committee to refuse the application in the interest of environmental protection and community well-being. Finally, it's worth noting that this is the only green space in the heart of the village recorded in the Domesday Book. Building on it would remove a precious jewel from those of the Crown. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a supporter for Mr. John Ember. You two have 3 minutes, so I'll tell you when you've got 1 minute left.
Thank you, Chair. The application has been brought before this committee because it raises complex policy issues, as is clear from the disagreement between your planning officers and policy team. We hope to persuade members that your policy team's assessment is correct and that the principle of development is acceptable. The council currently has a significant shortfall in housing land supply, falling well below the 5 years required by the government. This means that the presumption in favour of sustainable development is triggered, and that development should only be refused if the harm associated with it significantly and demonstrably outweighs the benefit. This is a high bar. Whilst the scheme would result in the loss of green infrastructure, it's important to note there is no public access to it. It does not therefore perform any function above and beyond that performed by greenfield land in general. The council is likely to come under significant pressure from housing developers to release swathes of countryside on the edges of settlements. Unless windfall sites such as this are allowed, then there's a very real risk that the future growth needs of the district will be determined by appeal decisions as opposed to the forward planning process. This alternative would involve the loss not only of green infrastructure, but also the irreplaceable loss of countryside as well, which is surely a less sustainable option. Your planning officers accept that the case is finely balanced. What's not mentioned in the report is that we've submitted revised plans to address the Highway Authority's concerns as well as the concerns of the lead local flood authority. It's important to note that the Highway Authority is satisfied that the main site entrance onto Newport Road is safe and that traffic from the scheme will not overload the network. Their concerns related to the Wharf Road access and technical matters. Our revised plans reduce the number of proposed new build houses to 17, replacing the two frontage plots to Wharf Road with biodiversity net gain planting and a pedestrian link. The revised plans also incorporate a footpath to the access road and move development away from the area highlighted as being at risk from surface water flooding. The revised plans
were submitted
back in July, but neither nearby residents nor statutory consultees have seen them because there's been no reconsultation. Since your officer's report acknowledges at paragraph 1.10 that the consideration is finely balanced, and at 1.39 that the lack of safe access is included within that balance, we would ask that members defer consideration of the application to allow reconsultation on the revised plans and allow us to work with your officers to deliver an acceptable scheme on this site, which is sustainably located within limits to development. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We now have the ward member, Scott Spencer.
Mark Winnington's going to speak as well.
Oh, right, okay.
He came back in at the same time.
Yeah, where is it? Mark, do you want to take a seat at the same time? Have they got 5 minutes? You only have 2.5 minutes each, as you were those 3 minutes.
Yeah, we were promised 3 by the lawyer, so I think we should stick with 3.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct, you've been promised 3. Are you going first, Scott?
Okay, I'd like to remind the committee that we are only looking at this application for access only. Although there are many points within this application that would regard refusal, the green infrastructure and so forth, it is only the access. And with regard to that, Highways have come back and said that it is unsustainable due to access off the Newport Road. The pavements are not wide enough and there's nothing in this plan that indicates that those will be made wider. Also, in this application, there is no indication as to how the Wharf Road properties and their splay will be produced. So the highways are quite clear that they does not fulfil those two characters. Secondly, the surface water flooding, which I think I've had there's a slide on that one. Even though it took my time, isn't it?
That's your 3 minutes gone.
Yeah. So this first one, when it comes up, this just above the H in Heath shows a surface water flooding impact for this on this site where the two houses are located, and also the pedestrian access, which indicates that really even if there was the ability displays put in, it would be impacted significantly by surface water flooding. The other two slides, please, if you will, shows the pavement access from Newport Road.
I only received the one slide.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a shame, because the views from Newport Road indicate that the footpath is only 0.5 metre wide. Highways have requested it is 2 metres wide. This application does not account for that, and that is why Highways have refused it, and that is my...
Thank you. Mark, do you want to...
Okay, say when.
When?
Right. Thank you, Chair. First of all, a quick apology to all the people of Nosal. I missed the call-in. I was in intensive care, but I feel really bad about it. As a youngster, we used to go to the paper shop, and I was mentioning the paper shop or the chip shop, which are on next to the barn conversion, and I think that should have been put into the report, because as I say, anyone who's been in Nosal as long as I have, which is over 60 years, remembers these things and remembers Stacey's Field for what it is, which is the greenest part of that part of Nosal. It's the lungs. It's also the area that drains into it. In terms of drainage, Nosal is like a cauldron. It takes water off Knightley Road, Doley Brook, Broad Hill, Goosemore and the Loop. Now, two of those areas have got planning applications as well, prospective applications coming forwards. I don't think it's right for Nosal to be absolutely flooded out for the next 100 years, because that's what would happen. When it rains heavily, even though the Wharf Road does soak some of the water up, when it rains heavily, the whole of Wharf Road goes up by 6 inches to a foot. Houses are constantly getting flooded, and to put more houses on that green soakaway is absolutely balmy, completely balmy. I just don't know where people think we're going to end up. This has always been a protected and well-loved area in the village, and as Scott said, and many other people, the parish council, we have a problem with flooding. As we go forward, that problem will not get better, it will not cure itself, and it's not just a little bit of flooding in one place where you put a pipe. As I said, it's the whole of Knowsall, and if we pass any more building applications in Knowsall, Knowsall will sink, and I think it's horrendous that we're even here discussing this. I would ask the committee please to turn this down. It can be turned down on street scene, it can be turned down on effect on green infrastructure, which is the parish council and the borough council have alluded to. And finally, and I think most importantly, the effect on flooding in the village. Thank you, Chair.
Quickly, again, on the highways issue in sustainability, this development is indicated it requires pavements to be added into the roadway, which are not shown on this plan, and therefore that's another reason as to why highways have elected to refuse this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. I'll open it up for debate now, if anyone wants to begin. Yes,
nothing to do with the planning application, but in all the years I've been on this planning committee, no one's ever mentioned where an air ambulance would land. And it's incredible, isn't it? We've never had it mentioned before, ever. And, you know, so important, yet I know it's not a planning consideration. Please tell me that I am led to believe, and correctly so, that there is a culvert under the Wharf Road. And the County Council's flood team have actually stated that water that's coming from there, which the two gentlemen have very recently spoken about, causes frequent extensive flooding within Knowsall Heath. It comes off there. And I think that's a strong consideration in my mind, and it's very early on yet, but to actually vote against this application. But I will leave it there. Thank you, Chairman.
Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Anne?
Sorry, do you want to go?
Okay,
thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I looked at that first drawing actually, and it's just surrounded by houses. It's just a little green patch in the middle of a load of houses. And at the end of the day, where do these children and older people walk their dogs and use it as a? To me, that should be local green space. That should be local green space. It's totally knowing that area a little, and you know, on Wharf Road where those really old buildings, and that this is totally out of keeping with the area. And I think about the highways issue and looking at that Newport Road. It's not. It is a safety issue. Definitely a safety issue. I mean, I've walked that road a few times in the last few months, but I won't say why. And I did find it quite intimidating actually, as far as the traffic and that was concerned. So, you know, I'm totally in favour of saying, you know, refusing it. And I think it should be classed as local green space, and I think that people should be fighting for it, the local green space, to be used to the public, because it really concerns me. I can't see any play areas or anything around there where the public can go. So I recommend that we refuse it. Thank you.
Is that a proposal?
It's
a bit more debate. Yeah, but it's really. Is that a proposal?
Sorry. I apologise.
That is a proposal.
Yes.
Does anyone? Yes, Rob?
Yeah. although we don't have a 5-year land supply anymore because of the change of national planning policies, we still have a local plan. And within that local plan, we have policies still carry weight regardless of the lack of 5-year land supply. And one of those is our local green infrastructure policy. And that does carry weight. And it also, within a neighbourhood plan, that still carries weight.
stand by note of policy.
I just wanted to say, I read the highways report, why they're against it, and it seems to make a lot of sense to me about the footpath and the dangerous sort of access into the two roads through Newsall. So I agree with the planning officers.
Anyone else?
I just think that the sort of damage to the rural character and the biodiversity and the risk involved with the road isn't really worthwhile, considering it's only 19 houses.
Mm.
You know, it's not going to make a huge dent in the houses that we need to build. You know, so it doesn't sort of, it doesn't balance out, does it?
Yeah,
can I just ask on the in the and forgive me because I failed to read it, Newsall neighbourhood plan, is this area designated?
It's
as a green space within your list of green spaces.
It is
designated as a green area. It's acknowledged that it's important. They've done plans in the past and consultations, and the members of the board wanted to stay a green area. I just have to, in terms of honesty, by the chip shop there is a very, very small children's play area, but very small for the size of the village.
And just to clarify, Newsall would like it to be green space, but it's privately owned, so currently it cannot be accessed as green space.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, we've had a proposal from Councillor Edgela to refuse. Is that proposal seconded?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to clarify your grounds for refusal, Anne?
That's a good question.
Lack of green infrastructure.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, lack of green infrastructure.
Yeah. If I may,
concerns about the highways.
Well, that's your reasons given by the officer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Safety issues.
Safety issues.
Yeah.
By the reasons given in the report, then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's the proposal. It's been seconded. All those in favour? Any no against? Unanimous then.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah. Moving on to the next application, this is a deferred application, so the only people that can consider it are those of us who were here when it was first brought to committee, and that's why Councillor McNaughton's left the room, because he wasn't here at that time. So this one's been brought by Sean.
Yep.
To explain here.
Thank you, Chair. You may recall this application was presented at Planning Committee on the 16th of July earlier this year. It was deferred on the basis that insufficient information was considered to have been submitted surrounding the noise impact of the development, and it was requested at the meeting that a further noise impact assessment be undertaken using the same parameters as the submitted noise impact assessment with the original application. but with the closed, with the roller shutter doors closed for comparison. The case officer requested that this additional information was submitted. However, a letter was submitted by the noise consultants, which stated that the request was unwarranted, as the submitted noise impact assessment is robust and precautionary, and it advised that the noise impact assessment employed a worst case value for background and specific sound levels, ensuring that the evaluation reflects the highest plausible impact. Furthermore, it was stated that the current analysis already represents a scenario more severe than the typical site operations, and its outcome is indicative of low impact. A statement has also been prepared by the agency application stating that the planning committee's request for the additional noise impact assessment to be carried out was neither reasonable nor proportionate in planning terms, given the extensive and robust evidence that was already submitted. So you may recall when this application was initially debated that Environmental Health had been consulted and they raised no objection, and Environmental Health had actually been out and done their own noise readings and raised no objection on the basis of noise. So we have got the presentation. It was the same presentation that was presented to you back in July. I'll run through it quite quickly. We've got the site edged in red. Here, and you can see there is a group of dwellings just situated just to the north. So the unit, as you recall, is being used for vehicle repairs and a modification business, and the original application placed a condition to say that the doors should be closed at all times. So the application that is under consideration now is for the condition to be varied to state that the doors can remain open but still no work to be carried outside the unit. So again, these are the same photographs that you saw back in July. Photograph one just shows the access road which splits between the industrial units and the residential dwellings to the north. Two just shows some of the other industrial units. Three is the parking area to unit five, looking towards the dwellings you can see in the background. And image four shows the roller shutter doors open. Again, that's the same image. This is basically the industrial units 1 to 7. And we just have a very simple floor plan there shown on floor three. With the roller shutter doors at the front. So essentially where we are today is the requested information back in July has not been submitted, with an argument that the original noise assessment as submitted with the original application and the findings from the Environmental Health readings and their response is sufficient for committee to make a decision. So the recommendation remains to approve.
Thank you, Charles. We have two speakers. We have an objector, Mr. Peter Morgan, if you'd like to sit there. You have 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left to sum up.
Thank you. When the planning authority were considering the original retrospective application, the applicant was requested to undertake a noise assessment, which was done, and that report specifically recommended the roller shutter doors at the unit would remain closed during the business hours of operation. It also recommended a noise management plan and a number of other conditions, including keeping the doors closed. In granting the retrospective planning permission, you considered it necessary to include those conditions outlined in the report, in particular condition 5. And it should be noted at the time of application and the granting of permission, the applicant did not make any objections to those conditions. However, within a couple of months, the applicant considered the noise report that they had commissioned and submitted in support of the successful retrospective application was flawed and commissioned another. This report, perhaps unsurprisingly, reported slightly lower noise levels, but still recommended a noise management plan, although on this occasion chose not to make specific comments on its content. A planning officer attended the premises on three occasions during the spring of this year, and unsurprisingly, as the occupants knew of their presence, the sound levels recorded were not considered excessive. When you considered that, as was mentioned, on the 16th of July, you felt unable to make a decision and resolve that you needed a further noise assessment, as has been said, that wasn't undertaken. So, committee members, you have no more information you had in July when you felt unable to grant approval to remove condition 5. In the meantime, since the date of the retrospective permission was granted, the conditions have continued to be flagrantly ignored, with the shutter doors being open during the majority of operating hours. The residents have not seen or been consulted on any noise management plan, indeed, if one exists. Also, the shipping containers that were required to be removed as part of the original application remain in place, and inquiries made by the local MP to the council on our behalf remain unanswered. All of the current residents of Walton Bank have objected to the application, as has the parish council. As you can imagine, the residents feel badly let down, and if the removal of the condition is granted today, we'll be forced to consider other potential avenues, including judicial review. Thank you.
Thank you for that. We have a supporter, Harriet Jones. Again, you have 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've 1 minute left.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Harriet Jones of Barbers Rural, speaking on behalf of the applicant. This application has been brought back to committee on the basis members felt there was insufficient evidence to support the removal of condition 5 when key information had not been provided. I appreciate the need for robust evidence, and I would like to summarise the substantial information already provided, independently verified and accepted by the council specialists. In March 2024, my client submitted a full noise impact assessment, a noise management plan and other documents required under the original planning permission, all within the required timescales. Unfortunately, due to an internal administrative error, these documents were mistakenly indexed as high security and were therefore not visible to the parish council or residents during the initial consultation period. This created the understandable but incorrect impression the information had not been supplied, even though it had. The noise impact assessment itself is extremely thorough and was undertaken by a qualified professional consultant. Noise Air carried out several days of on-site monitoring and adopted conservative methodologies. Despite this deliberately cautious approach, the assessment still concludes a low impact at the nearest receptors. Noise Air have confirmed no further testing is required, as the existing results already demonstrate a low impact with the doors open, and any repeat survey would not change this outcome. Importantly, the site has now been assessed by two separate environmental health officers. The first visited the site in December last year, raised no concerns after site visits, and confirmed he was satisfied with the condition to be removed, although he unfortunately left his role before issuing the formal written report. The second environmental health officer has since undertaken unannounced visits, taking independent noise readings. On every visit, he found noise from the unit was acceptable. Noise from the A5013 was equal to or higher than the sound from within the workshop, and the noise error assessment is accurate, precautionary and reliable. The officer's report therefore concludes there is no technical planning objection and the impact on residential amenity is not harmful, fully complying with legal.
You have 1 minute left.
My client also remains entirely willing to accept the condition preventing any work from taking place outside the unit, demonstrating his commitment to working cooperatively with the council. Given the comprehensive evidence already provided, it is felt further noise surveys cannot be justified on technical or policy grounds. The evidence already demonstrates that with the doors open, which represents the worst case scenario, the noise impact is low and acceptable. This aligns with national planning policy, which require any request for additional information must be reasonable. My client is simply trying to support the tenant in operating a small rural business safely, legally, and within a realistic set of planning conditions. A planning officer, two environmental health officers, and an independent consultant all agree the proposal complies with the planning policy and there is a low impact. With that in mind and with respect, I kindly ask members to support the officer's recommendation for approval. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. do we have two ward councillors wishing to speak? No, just Peter Jones. Okay.
Chairman.
You have 5 minutes, Peter.
Thank you.
I'll let you know when you've got a minute left.
I prepared my notes for this evening without knowing that some of the sound checks were carried out differently to the way I thought they were carried out. Anyway, I will say what I've prepared. Mr. Chairman, members of the council, members who know my years on the planning committee, my views on conditions, they are not to be treated lightly or something that should be cast aside or ignored at some future time to suit applicants or as a means of gaining approval for a planning application. When the application to use one of the units on this combined industrial and residential rural location for vehicle repairs and modification business by Road Speed Developments, the then members of the planning committee approved the application, subject, one must presume, that the members must have some reservations, since they added a number of conditions, and one of the conditions was number 5, which reads as follows, which you already know, but I'll repeat it anyway, that the roller shutter doors at unit 5 shall remain in the closed position when any work on cars is taking place. No work shall be undertaken outside of this unit at any time. Not maybe, or occasionally, or whenever. No work shall be carried outside, and the roller shutter doors shall be closed when any work is done inside. This condition was deemed necessary at the time, given the finding of the noise impact assessment submitted originally in the 15th of September 2023. The planning application was then approved, subject to these conditions. Since then, however, the applicant has sought the removal of condition 5 to allow shutter doors to remain open. A number of noise inspections have been carried out by various bodies, and apparently by some carried out by the planning officer, which is not authorised to.
No, there was no readings taken by a planning officer. Planning officer would have visited the site but not been involved.
So who did the tests then?
Environmental health.
So all officially done by people qualified to do such tests?
Yes.
Okay, then I apologise. These were proved conclusively two things as far as I can see. That during these unannounced inspections, and I assume they were unannounced because otherwise they'd be useless. If they were unannounced over a period of weeks, that the combined sound level of traffic noise from nearby highway and noise for Unit 5 never exceeded any unacceptable level to domestic residents. You can't argue with science, despite what the residents say. The residents live there. The residents are saying it was unacceptable noise. Question 2 was that road speed operators of Unit 5 openly flouted at least one of the conditions which gained them planning permission to operate the site in the first place. And during the unannounced visits, the shutter doors were open in violation of the condition every time they went there. So who are we to believe? The people who operate the site or the residents or whoever? You can't trust anybody by the sound of it. We don't know who to believe. If the council's enforcement department ever gets round into full strength, perhaps they could pay a visit to the site and see what is actually going on there, because I don't believe anything that's said today. It strikes me that we don't know. We're not sure what's going on. Planning officers say one thing, these tests people say you another. There's no unacceptable sound going on. But I don't know. I wouldn't like to put any money on it, I would say. But it's up to the committee. Obviously, the committee will only go on what the science says, and the science says sound isn't unacceptable. But maybe I shall pop down there one day and see if the sound is unacceptable when I pop around unannounced without telling anybody I'm going to be there. Mr. Chairman, I thank you for your time. Members of the committee, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. Right, we're open to discussion now. Scott?
Thank you, Chair. I find it slightly disappointing that the noise assessment company decided not to undertake a second assessment, because I feel that an assessment with the doors shut could have actually almost been, could have indicated maybe louder propagation of sound, certainly on the residential side, due to sort of reverberations within that unit, and that by having the door open might actually release sound from sort of acting upon that quite large side that faces the houses. So it is very disappointing we don't have that additional information, so it makes our decision quite difficult. However, we can't really dispute the sound surveys that have been conducted, which do indicate that the heavy traffic sound is actually greater than the sounds that are being created by the applicant. So that's hard to dispute. I also have a quick question. If we were of a mind to go with the officer's advice and allow this to go ahead, the noise management plan has been mentioned a couple of times. Is that currently in place? Or
it's actually attached to the condition again. So if you look on page 39 of the agenda, it says within 2 months of the date of the planning commission, a noise management plan shall be submitted. So that's the original condition that was on the first application for the unit. So that would be repeated again. So we would be requesting a noise management plan.
So there was already a management plan in place for the initial application?
I think one was submitted, and I don't think the condition was actually ever discharged, which is why we've carried it over onto this one. So we would be requesting that noise management plan again.
Okay, and and within that, I presume we would indicate, is there going to be a maximum decibel rating or placed on that, and if they exceed that, an enforcement would be.
We would have to
place.
Pass any noise management plan out to Environment Health to assess. Can't really answer that question because I'm not the noise expert, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
Jo. Yeah, this is a difficult one, isn't it? I realise that the only way in and out of this unit is through the shutter doors. So I'm being facetious now, but it's crossed my mind. You know, do they stand and say, right, that's stop work, I'm going through the door. And then shut the door. And then when they come back in, they say, stop the door. Impractical. It's a very busy industrial unit. There's lots of cars coming and going. There's lots of work going up on all around this unit. And I would think it's very difficult to take a sound reading without having, as has already been said, the traffic surrounding the work that's going on. But each time it's been acceptable. So we have to go with what we're being told. Thank you, Chairman.
Anyone else? No? Do we have a proposal?
May I just say something?
Yes, Bill, please.
We're talking about sort of like a garage as such here, really, basically. And in fact, people working in a garage as such can become overcome with all the fumes that they've got inside of there. And you do need to open the doors now and again to flush out the whole of the actual garage while you're working or you've finished the job or whatever the case may be. So it's a very difficult one. Where do we actually stand when you have people saying that they can hear all this noise, etc.? And yet, at the same time, you've got the health of the people who are working on those cars inside there. They've got fumes, etc., that they want to get rid of as well at the same time. It's a very, very difficult way to pin down.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I would like to propose that we approve this, subject to the conditions, on the grounds that there's no evidence provided other than to us that the sound checks have been acceptable each time. So therefore, we have to follow the professional advice.
Can I comment before potentially seconded? I think the issue we have here is with the evidence supplied that if we were of a mind to refuse this, we would be very open to appeal. And I think with what's provided, we wouldn't really have the grounds to dispute an appeal, is my concern. Thank you.
So, do we have a seconder for Jill's proposal?
Can I just
ask? Say, sorry,
so, the condition that we're putting in is that the roller shutter doors at Unit 5 shall remain in a closed position when any work on cars is carried out. No work shall be carried out outside of this unit at any time. Is that correct?
No, that was the original condition. So
you're now taking it away.
We've got both reports here, so the last one. So Condition 5, which is set out on page 39, says no work shall be undertaken outside of Unit 5 at any time. So basically it's removing the wording where it says you've got to have them all the shutter doors shut. Mm-hmm. So they still can't work outside of the unit, but they're allowed the doors open.
Is that clear?
It's clear.
Do we have side doors?
I just say, in actual fact, we've got to be very careful because we can't, in fact, state that, in fact, they should keep the door shut at all times when they're working in their room with fumes inside there. You could actually be ask somebody to become very, very ill. So you have that particular aspect to consider at the same time. It's simply not just a case of having your door shut because there's somebody a little way away is hearing some noise that they're having on the cars. It's the safety of the people inside there who are working at the same time have to be considered.
Yeah, Rob?
With regards to fumes and that, I mean, extraction units can be put in and stuff like that, but again, that might cause own noise as well. I think our hands are tied on this one, and I think if we don't accept report from our own environmental officers, then we're going to struggle in the future.
I assume, in actual fact, they have extractors in the garage.
No. I did ask this question on the previous meeting, and the answer was no.
No.
Scott, did you want to come back?
I was going to say, very much Councillor Kenny said here, is extraction units equally produce their own degree of noise, which of course would be constant. We don't, of course, know the decibel ratings of those, but that's another consideration.
Are we clear now what we're voting on? It's the removal of the condition. We're clear on we're only removing the conditions of leaving the doors closed. The condition on not working on the cars outside of the doors remains. We're clear about that. So we have a proposal for that, Councillor Hood. Do we have a seconder? You're seconding it, Anne. Can we take a vote on it then, please? All those in favour? 4, 5, 6. 6. Any against? 2. That's carried then.
No abstentions. You've got to do the abstentions as well.
Oh, sorry, any abstentions? I don't think there were.
No.
No. Okay, that's carried then. Thank you. Now.